Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 91. And we are live tonight, hopefully with a bit of luck, on both DLive and RadioAlbion.com. And we are also, as always, live on Entropy 2. So when the show is over, if you want to watch the replay, if you don't get to watch the whole show and you want to watch the rest of it, or if you want to watch previous shows, the repeat of this show, the replay, and all previous shows, as well as all my videos, are on BitChute. So we are live with video on DLive. We are live with video and audio only on RadioAlbion.com. That is the home of Sven Longshanks. If you want more nationalist material, please go and check that out. It's a great website full of wonderful content. And I believe it's got all the previous speeches from PA events up there too. So really good website. Please do support him. And you can watch there or listen. So if you're having problems with DLive, you can listen to an audio only stream. Now, as I said, all previous videos are up on BitChute. Now, if you want to contribute to the show, I am going to drop the Entropy link in the chat. The best way to contribute is through Entropy. So the link to that is in the chat. Oh, no. I have just dropped the wrong link. 2 seconds. I have deleted that. Sorry about that. I will pop in the Entropy link. I put in the wrong link there. So there is the Entropy link. The Entropy link is also up on my Telegram. It's also up on my Gab. And they're the places you can follow me. I am no longer on Twitter. So if you want to help out this show, if you want to help me out, it would be absolutely fantastic if you could tweet this show out, remind people it's on, remind people we're still going. This is the 91st episode of PWR. And we did 100 episodes of Tutar before. So we're pushing 4 years of these weekly shows. So if you can tell people we are still here, we are still going strong, that would be absolutely fantastic. You can also contribute to me via Bitcoin or via a range of different cryptocurrencies. I'm going to do a post in a couple of days listing all my crypto addresses so they're all in one place. But my Bitcoin is up on my BitChute. It's up on my YouTube. But if you want my Bitcoin address or any of my crypto addresses, just write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com and I will send them to you. I can accept any crypto that you wish to send. Now, you can also write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com and I am there to answer any of your questions, help you with problems, chat to you, whatever you need. That is what I'm there for. I do a lot of work helping young men develop, helping them with their confidence, helping them find jobs. If you are one of those people, young man or woman, who needs help, please do get in touch. Now, a couple of very, very short announcements before we get into the show. I've got an excellent video that will be a BitChute exclusive. It is coming out on Friday. It is called, let me get this right, Lockdowns. Lockdowns have killed more people than COVID. So that is a very, very important video. I've gone through all the facts and I have found some shocking conclusions, which are there in the title. So that will be out on BitChute on Friday. Also, if you are on Instagram, you will have seen I have been posting a few things recently, and one of them was some cupcakes that I baked. And that is for the Patriotic Alternative Baking Competition. Remember, you still have until Valentine's Day to get your entries in. Please do support that. Please have a look at what we've been doing. We're doing lots of different events at the moment. The baking competition is just one of them. You can see my entry there on Instagram. And if you want to support it, the link is in the description. Sign up, get involved. It's something in conjunction with Grandma Towler's Tea. It'll help Laura out too. Also, it's a bit of fun and it's a good family activity. So get involved if you can do. Right, now let's get into the show. And we'll start as always by saying, hello, Jason. Who's on tap? How have you been? Anything interesting happened that we all need to know about?
Well, probably everybody knows about all of the arrests around planet Earth, thanks to the anti-whites who call themselves Democrats, taking control of the House, Senate, and the presidency, and now using the international police, such as CIA and the rest, to provide information to foreign countries of the United States so that they can go and arrest everybody who cares about white people. Isn't that nice? That's what the anti-whites are up to. And we're just watching things deteriorate. Troops outside in Washington, D.C., right beyond a stone's throw of where I live. So it's an interesting world now to see Washington, D.C. like this. TAP this coming week will be on Thursday or Saturday. We're not sure of the guest yet, but me and Mr. George will figure out who that will be. And I will share with you all a content producer by the name of Spencer the First, who is one of our colleagues. He's on DLive, and I will share his link over the course of the show. But it is fantastic to be with Marcus again, and looking healthy as always. And of course, our great leader, Mark Collett, and very excited about the show. Ready to roll.
Well, it is now time to introduce our special guest, and what a fantastic special guest he is too. This man is a legend. He is somebody that I have met in person on several occasions, and I can assure you, he is just as impressive in person as he is on the internet. And he's not just an incredible looking guy. This guy is an incredible speaker. He was over at our first ever PA conference and he gave an amazing speech. I've also heard him speak in Sweden. I've had the honor of appearing on his channel where we talked about Warhammer 40K and a range of other things. Now, I have talked a lot recently about how the lockdown gets people down, about how it's not right that we can't go out, we can't go to the gyms, we can't go and exercise. And I've been hit quite hard by this because I love going to the gym. I love lifting. And this man in Sweden, he hasn't actually had any lockdown, so he is still at the gym. But I'm hoping he will still be able to give some really good tips tonight for people who can't get to the gym. I think this guy is an inspiration to everyone. And if more young men strived to be like him, our race, our people would be in a far, far better place. He is a true hero of our people. But before I hand it over to this living legend, I've got to say, I talked about my Instagram earlier. His Instagram was a constant source of inspiration for me. But sadly, it got taken down the other day. Now, I've never seen Marcus post anything objectionable. So this is an absolute scandal. And tonight, he's going to tell you which social networks he's new to, where he's now promoting his fitness. And I want to make it our goal this evening to get this legend. I don't know how many followers. We'll see how many followers he's got, but we will set a target through the show. And I want to see people signing up to this. And obviously, if you're watching the replay, I will make sure the links are in the description because we are a community and I really want to help this guy because he's a major inspiration to me. Marcus, please take it away. Tell us what you've been doing, where you've been deplatformed from, how we can help you, how we can find you, and how you suggest that we keep our heads up in these trying times.
Oh, first and foremost, thank you very much for the absolutely glorious and heartwarming introduction. And yeah, I could say the same thing about you. Obviously, a longtime veteran, and I've always, you know, when things gets me down, I look to guys like you who've been at it for a lot longer than I have, and I say, heads up, chest up, and yeah, upwards and onwards. So yeah, exactly. Main thing then, of course, is I sort of knew was
Astrid. What is mama?
I have a little my assistant here with me who's contributing with some thoughts. So yeah, so I kind of knew something was going to happen after the whole debacle in the US. I knew that the Biden presidency would have its effects. So I kind of feared it throughout the autumn. So I mean, it didn't come as a complete shock that it took Instagram. I hadn't expected it. I would have guessed maybe Twitter or something would have, you know, be the first to go. So basically, the long story, I've had two things ever removed from my Instagram, and I've had it since 2013. Now, obviously, started as more of a fitness account. But the first thing was 4 years ago. Then I posted a picture of a customer who have bought a so neck warmer with a Celtic cross, and he had a MAGA hat as well. It was before Trump became corrupted by the forces of chaos. So I posted it. So That was actually removed, and this was in early 2017, and I got a week's ban from Instagram, basically. Ever since then, I've been very cautious. I haven't posted any forbidden Nordic symbols or anything like it. I've kept it very unpolitical, more of an aesthetic page. I tried to keep the politics on other platforms. Then there was one thing last summer when the whole Black Lives Matter exploded. I just couldn't keep myself, but I wrote a quite neutral post. For anyone who wants to read it in its entirety, it's on thegoldenone.se. You can just search for Black Lives Matter and it will appear, where I basically said, I objected to white being so preoccupied with talking about an African-American criminal, whereas they haven't said a thing about all of the white, especially Swedish victims we've had over this last year. But it wasn't anything, it was only a reprimand towards other whites. So it wasn't anything towards blacks at all, but that got removed actually. Otherwise, I haven't had any violation or anything. But you know, it's politically motivated. They see someone being for white well-being, standing for Western civilization. You know, Instagram, we all know this. The majority of us who are here now, we know Instagram is a platform for the establishment. The establishment likes degeneracy, hip-hop, you name it. Softcore pornography, that's Instagram. It isn't really a place for someone like me. I could be there for a long time, thankful for it. It was a fun time. And I'm happy with it. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's not a platform for us. It's the platform of something completely else. So anyway, it got removed. I appealed it. I got it back. Then it was gone the following week. So I suppose it's from higher up, either someone in the US, the big tech companies, or someone in the Swedish regime had ordered it because they see I'm too popular or whatever. Because the Swedish regime they're getting a bit afraid of losing power because they are being exposed. They've been exposed so much. And I've said this before, I can say it again, just an update on the Swedish metapolitical situation. 10 years ago, you know, anti-white sentiments, anti-Swedish sentiments were the standard and everyone agreed multiculturalism is the best, etc. Now, however, it's perhaps not mainstream, but it's socially acceptable to be critical of multiculturalism and mass immigration, at least. So the regime, they sense it. They sense the, where the overtone window is going, and they start lashing out. And there has been some bank shutdowns as well, social media shutdowns on YouTube. There was a Swedish political show, Sveb TV, talking about Swedish politics. They got shut down as well from YouTube. And my guess, I don't have any evidence, so take it with a grain of salt, but I would say that many of these shutdowns may come from the Social Democratic Party. Then, of course, the big tech companies in the US, they wouldn't have any, I don't think they need any incentives to shut down people like us anyway. So that was the situation with Instagram, at least.
Also, can you give some tips on how to stay in fantastic shape? Because this lockdown, I get a lot of people, especially young lads, say, I really got into the gym. Nationalism helped me reorientate my life. In fact, I spoke to a young guy the other day, fantastic young guy. He rang me up, spent an hour on the phone, giving a little bit of advice. Really lovely chap. And he said the gym for him was his escape. And without it, he feels a bit down. What sort of things would you suggest doing at home on a budget to stay in good shape and to maintain a physique like yours? It's easy to go running. It's dead easy to get out and do a bit of cardio, but not so easy to end up looking like you when you live at home, unless you have a huge amount of money for gym equipment.
Yeah. So basically last spring in March or April. It was a few weeks where, you know, we haven't had any lockdowns at all in Sweden, so I could have gone to the gym, but, you know, I fell victim of the hysteria from the media. So I was a bit cautious as well. I took a, I did a self-imposed quarantine, so I stayed at home for a few weeks at least. What I did, I bought a barbell, so a rather small barbell with 50 kilos of weight, and then I had it in this room, I did some military press, some Romanian deadlifts, some shrugs with it, so mainly shoulder work, because 50 kilos is quite a lot for shoulders. Even if I have been up on heavy weights, if you do high repetitions of shoulders at at such a weight, you can get a good workout. So it will be harder, of course, to train deadlift because you need so much, quite a bit of weight. I couldn't do it here because, the floor would break. But you could do at least some exercises. So what you could do is focus on, maybe the shoulders, train them like crazy. I also trained a lot of neck. So I did this to my wife all the time. I pretended to be a toad, and I said she must love me anyway because we're married. So that's the aesthetic toad. But trained neck all the time. It's quite easy. I just laid on the floor and did neck like this. You can put your hands on your head as well to get some additional weight. So there are a lot of things you can do. Then of course body weight squats you can do, or a goblet squats if you have a kettlebell. I actually got a kettlebell as well that I did some exercises with. There are some kettlebell swings you can do as well. So there are options, but I'd say the most difficult thing is to transform your room, mentally transform your room into a gym. Because usually when you go to the gym, you get into the zone of a gym. Now I go into the gym, I associate it in my mind with training, so therefore I am, I'm ready to go. Whereas if you do it in your next to your sofa, you might associate it with tranquility and relaxation. So I'd say that is a rather tricky bit for a lot of people to get from point A to point B in their minds. It's easier when you actually do it in a physical way. You go to the gym, you get hyped up. Maybe you, when you walk to the gym, you listen to some music, or you drive to the gym, you listen to some music. You have your, you prepare for it. So I'd suggest that maybe watch some of my old glorious training videos, get in the zone, put on some music even at home. So get in the zone at home, try to find that pre-workout routine even at home, and try to set out half an hour each day where you do train. So I'd say the biggest obstacle isn't necessarily to find exercises. It's to find that sense of, now I am training. Now I'm not at home. Now I am in the gym, but it just happens to be at home. You can find a lot of body weight exercises as well. Push-ups, if you do 10 sets of 10 repetitions of push-ups each day, it will perhaps not the same results as you would, you know, go on a small of junior cycle in the bench press, but it will be something at least. There are a lot of things to do, but finding the discipline to do it at home, when you have done that, I think it's, gains can come to you.
So one of the things I always used to love about your Instagram is you always used to post very, very motivating pictures. And there was two types of pictures I liked you posting. I liked you posting pictures of your training. There was no pictures I disliked, but I liked the pictures of you training. And I really loved the pictures of you out in the countryside, because you're actually quite a talented photographer. And you took some incredible pictures of snowy vistas and incredible scenery. Now, where can people keep in touch with you? Because you are on Twitter, but I'm really hoping you're also on Gab and Telegram, because that's where the growth seems to be. I've been kicked off Twitter, and once you're kicked off Twitter, you really do need to make use of those alternative platforms. But are you on both of those?
Yeah. So first and foremost, it's actually my dear wife who's the photographer in the endeavor. So yeah, credit for her. But yeah, I'm handy enough with I have an aesthetic eye at least, so I like to take the nature pictures. Yes. So here's my plan. I will make a video on it, a YouTube video, where I will make a big push to either Gab or Minds. I'm leaning towards Gab because more people are on there, and we'll do a Physique Friday. So Physique spelled with an F, an I-Z-E-E-K. So Physique Friday. I know some guys are doing it on Twitter now, but you know, as I see it, Twitter is a place where you know you can debate with politicians and companies, and you can sort of bring heat to them. But when it's something more internal, such as me posting nature picture or guys posting physique, and you know, the pointer is that guys from all over the West can post physique, get encouragement, have that as sort of you know, being accountable. Now I need to train hard in the week so I can post physique to Gab, and you know, have that as a almost like a weekly check-in, and have that as a sort of a tradition. But anyway, Mind is, if you search for the golden one, and of course Gab is the same. Telegram, also the golden one, and that is my main channel now. Since I got back my Instagram for a week, I got the opportunity to get as many people as possible to the Telegram at least. And yeah, the non-NPC followers followed me there. So the rest, you know, yeah, I had 32,000 followers. Big loss, but you know, the good guys, the good men and women who were there, they had the opportunity to follow me, and many of them did. So the quality people are already on Telegram. So that's my home base at the moment. And then, you know, I hoped that Donald Trump would take some action for once and just, you know, go into Gab or Minds, and you know, with a lot of money, and bring all of his MAGA boomer fans so we could enlighten them, of course. A huge opportunity to enlighten all of this. But yeah, so what I did from Instagram, migrate to Telegram. And then I also, of course, want the interactive aspect of it. And I think Gab is great for it. So so yeah, it looks like I will push Gab quite a bit in the coming time. I have pushed Telegram both on, as I said, Instagram and YouTube. I've seen a good growth. Now I will do the same with Gab and Minds, and we'll see. So yeah, that is the plan.
Marcus, let me ask you really quick. You're jumping over to Gab, and I've been on Gab for quite a little while. And about a month ago, I purchased the pack for the Pro plan. And I have been unable to upload anything. Every single thing I try to upload is errored. Now, I understand a lot of people are jumping over to Gab, and I've had a lot of questions myself I'm unable to answer. Do you know anything about being able to upload videos to Gab yet, or have you encountered any issues?
Yeah, plenty of issues. And that's also why I have been a bit hesitant. Had Gab been smooth 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, I would have pushed it already. But I was a bit hesitant because I don't want to, whenever I recommend someone to do something, I want to be respectful towards them. So I only say, follow me here if I know I can bring quality. I know I can do it on Telegram because I can write, I can post whatever, I can share links. Gab, however, now, as of the last week, I've been able to, you know, respond to comments, post an odd picture here and there. But for a long time, it was every other thing I wanted to do was composition failed or whatever it was. So that's why I haven't really been all too comfortable really wanting to push it thus far. Minds, however, is looking extremely good. And I don't really understand why more people haven't come to Minds yet, because they even have an app which works perfectly fine. I've tried to post the same sort of nature picture I posted to Instagram, I posted to Minds directly from the phone via the app. Works brilliantly. So that makes me want to maybe push Minds a bit more. But then I know that Gab has, you know, Andrew Torba, they really fought the good fight against the vicious enemy. So I want to support Gab, of course, but I also want to give everyone who listens to us, I want them to go to a platform where they can actually use it, because otherwise there might be a risk that they say, you know, this user experience isn't worth it, so therefore I can't really use it. So long story short, yes, I have encountered a lot of technical issues on Gab's world, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've been in the same boat, really. Since I lost my Twitter, I have been mainly using Telegram. I really like Telegram. It's fast. It works like a proper app. Gab, I've always been on Gab, and I have tried to support it more and more at times, and I'm really trying to support it now and draw people there. So's Patriotic Alternative. I think Gab is a fantastic venture, but sometimes it is a bit sluggish. Sometimes I have a few problems with it. And if I upload certain things to it, sometimes it doesn't show. And there was a glitch the other Sunday where I was talking to a few people and no one got any likes or reposts for the whole day. About three or four of us were talking in a private chat. So none of us have got really any likes or reposts all day. But I think that's actually, I know it sounds a bad thing because it's not working, but I think it's actually a good thing in some ways, because Andrew Torba has said that a lot of the bugs and the glitches that are coming through now are mainly because the platform is actually overloaded with so many people signing up, because obviously Parler was the favored platform of the MAGA crew and the Civ Nats and the Tommy Robinson lot, and Parler has sort of crashed and burned. And I don't think Parler will be making a comeback. I'm not happy about that. I would have liked to have seen Parler make a comeback. I'd have liked to have seen Parler succeed and grow, but it doesn't seem to be. But I was slightly also suspicious of Parler. And I always spoke about this, that people would sign up on Parler and the next day they'd have 200,000 subs, certain people. And then it just seemed very odd for people to blow up on a smaller platform like that. Literally, they'd sign up and the next day, 200,000 subs. And it just seemed very funny. And then you'd look at those people's messages, the things they were sending out. And unfortunately, their updates didn't seem to have the level of interaction you'd expect for somebody with a 200,000 or 20,000 or whatever sub account that just been, you know, flooded with followers. So I was always a little bit suspicious of Parler. I didn't want it taken down, but it is gone now. And I've noticed a lot of people like Katie Hopkins are now full-time on Gab, and they don't really care at all for anything else. So I think Gab will continue to grow. But also, the lesson from Parler, and somebody in the chat said this, it's very true. How can Parler have been as naive as they were, relying on Apple, Google, and Amazon at a time when those big tech companies were roundly condemning their poster child, which was Donald Trump? How could they have put all their eggs in the basket of big tech? And I've got to hand it to Andrew Torba. He obviously saw all of this coming, and he built his own infrastructure, and it's paid off. His house isn't built on sand. His house is built on stone, and he might have a few teething problems, but if it carries on growing, if he carries on getting funded, I believe that Gab and Telegram are going to be the de facto platforms. And Gab have got a very, very good policy of not deplatforming anyone unless that person specifically calls for violence or criminality or terrorism. Now, Telegram, I've really enjoyed Telegram, and I've really enjoyed Telegram because it allows people to chat, it allows you to find people, it allows you to private chat, to make groups, and the app works so well. But I do fear that in the coming months, we might see Telegram go the way of Parler. Or potentially, we might see Telegram be brutally curated by people from potentially the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center, because at the moment there is a lawsuit against Apple and Google that they are hosting hate speech by allowing the Telegram app on their platform. So we've got quite a few different challenges that are going to rear their heads this year. And obviously all of this is happening when we can't go out, when we can't meet people, when we can't go out and do what we used to do. I mean, when we first met, it was at a conference in Sweden, and what a fantastic conference it was. But there's not really been any nationalist conferences in Europe since, the last one was actually at the end of March last year. And this does present a series of problems. Now, what are you guys doing in the Nordic countries to get around this? What are you doing to organize? Do you think, because obviously you don't actually have a lockdown in Sweden, do you think you're going to get back to real world activities and start holding events like this and to try and get a few Brits or a few other Europeans over there?
First and foremost, just a quick comment on Parler. It's a classical, you know, conservative, naive attitude. It's like, oh, we'll play nice, we'll be polite, we'll be this and that, they will leave us be, because we're respectable conservatives. Look, we're not some right-wing extremist fascist, so you can't do this. Yes, very naive of them. And you know, the people there, I think there might have been some dodginess as well. You know, I'm not a Christian myself. I know Andrew Torba is a hardcore Christian. That I actually respect. Excuse me. I respect that he is a Christian. I know where I have him. I know what he's fighting for. He has a firm faith. And, you know, that I know. The Parler people, I didn't really know. There was some dodgy, MAGA, opportunistic people. I got a bad vibe from it. I had an account. I never really used it because I saw what sort of people were on there. Whereas Gab, of course, yeah, they have, as you say, Mark, a lot of teething problems. Hopefully they can get around it. What I would say is that I know at least that Andrew Torba, from what I've seen, he's a good man, and he doesn't allow, of course, any illegal activities, which is perfectly fine. I mean, I have no problem with it. The only problem I have with social media is when I don't know what I can and cannot say. Such as Instagram, they don't have anything. I didn't break any of the rules. Gab also has a no porn policy, which I regret to say that Minds do not seem to have. They do not seem to have that, because you get up boosted content and then there's a filter saying not safe for work, but beneath it, it's like, yeah, whatever it might be. So that's a minus for Minds, a plus for Gab. In regards to them coming after different social media, the good thing here with Telegram is that it's Russian and the majority of their users aren't American. So they might actually have, you know, they say, yes, we will crack down upon hate speech. That's fine for me, because I don't say anything that's actually hate speech. But on Facebook, I got my Facebook removed as well. I didn't use it, but it got removed anyway. There, you could have anything goes as hate speech. But in the Russian context, they actually need something to go on. They actually need someone, a channel writing, I hate group X because of this and that, and we should do this to group Y because this and that. Of course, if someone gets shut down from it, it's to be expected. But I would say, and maybe I'm just trying to white pill everyone, trying to be optimistic, but I would say that it's a less fragile app, Telegram, because it's not based in the wokeness and cancel culture epicenter of Silicon Valley. Then, of course, I know full well the ADL and various other anti-free speech, anti-freedom, anti-white organizations. They will put on the heat. They will put on the pressure on this, Telegram, for example. But from what I see also, Gab, they have stood the test so far, at least, of getting a lot of heat, getting a lot of attacks, getting into a lot of problems. So they have their battle tested, so to speak. And that's something I definitely appreciate, that we know they're not going to crack as Parler did. So we know it's a more robust system to trust. So again, main platform for me now, Telegram, trying to get as many over to Mainz or Gab as possible. Then I'm currently in the works of syncing an Odyssey channel, and I will use that as my main video platform instead of YouTube. I will, of course, keep my YouTube and create certain content there, but, you know, political stuff will be on some other platform. I've tried BitChute, but I can't seem to upload anything. It's a technical mess, but Odyssey, it's worked quite well, and I will announce on my Telegram when that's up and running. I will have all of my YouTube videos there, so the entire library has been is in the works of being synchronized. So that's a great relief, at least, that all of the videos are somewhere else.
Could you please speak about Odyssey for another moment, a little bit more, because a lot of people, it's brand new, and a lot of people have no idea what that is. So they'd like to have some info.
Yeah, sure. So it's basically an alternative to YouTube, and it looks really well. It looks really good, quite smooth as well. On a purely technical standpoint, as a video creator, as a content creator, there are some of the uploading default settings you need to tweak. So it's a bit more complicated, but once you get around it, and once the technicalities are in place, I think it will be a great place to be. Then, of course, one thing, a lot of people, they like the YouTube app. Odyssey doesn't have an app yet. But, you know, you can watch it anyway on a computer or a telephone. Perhaps not being able to sync it to the TV, but yeah, if someone wants to watch a video, they can do it anyway. So yeah, it's looking promising. It's the same brand as Library, or LBRI, or what it is. I haven't quite figured out the exact difference between Odyssey and Library, but it's similar, at least.
Yeah, it's a good platform. I mean, I'm on BitChute, but you have to be very, very patient. I've never had problems, but it takes a long time to upload. I still support those guys. But the people at BitChute, they need to do two things. We need live streaming, and we need to be able to curate our own comment sections, because I get some complete loons in my BitChute comment sections who just say things that are, they just glow so much. You'd see them in the dark from outer space. They glow so much. It's unbelievable. I can't abide by that kind of nonsense, and I don't need it in my comment sections. And on YouTube, I would make sure that kind of material got taken down, but instead you're sort of stuck with it on BitChute, which is very, very irritating. I have spoke to the creator of BitChute and said to him, you know, the most pressing thing is allowing us to moderate our own comment sections, because one of the big problems is they're too open to abuse. If people go and leave insane comments, it reflects on your videos. And that is one of the problems. I've got to say that anyone that creates a platform has to allow moderation. And without that moderation, it puts both the platform and the individuals who use that platform at risk. And anyone who is just sets up an anonymous account can say something crazy and damage both the platform and the content creators. That is something that needs to change. But I do support BitChute. I'm pushing 20,000 subs there now, so I'm quite happy. I signed up to Trovo a couple of days ago as well, which is an alternative streaming platform, so I'm over there now, although some idiot stole my name before I got there. So my name is Mark A. Collett, rather than, which is my middle initial is A, rather than just Mark Collett, because somebody's taken my name there. I may write to them at some point, because it goes against their terms of service to impersonate somebody else. So I may well write to them and actually ask if I can have that false account taken down. But that's the problem we're in. And you've got to remember, you have to look towards the future, because I've said this before, and I'm sure you'll feel this too, Marcus, but when we first met, when we had our first interactions, we were both on YouTube. And at the time when we first started interacting with one another, YouTube had so much content on it that could be described to the right of you and I it would have seemed absolutely bizarre for us to even think about being censored back then, because the wealth of material on YouTube was just immense. And now we are so far down the deplatforming, or the road of deplatforming, that we're on the very edge and we're expected to go next. And it shows just how quickly the environment can change just in a short period of time. And I believe that we have to invest, help these smaller platforms to grow. But the big pitfall with these small platforms is, unfortunately, they do not seem to, there isn't one winner. And that was the great thing. Twitter is the big micro blogging site. Facebook is the big social network. YouTube is the big video host. And that is where people go. And unfortunately, with LBRY, with BitChute, with Minds, with Gab, with Telegram, you've got all these different places all fighting each other for a slice of the pie. And it means your audience is so much more fragmented. So I've got, 6,500 on Gab, but then I've got I've got 9,500 on Telegram. And it just means you're posting to multiple places all the time, which is also annoying. But I think we've talked about this quite a lot now. And we've also talked about health and fitness, which is good. But let's talk a bit about being a dad, because you have a lovely little girl. She's often featured on your, was featured on your Instagram. I'm also a dad. How is being a father treating you, Marcus?
It's great. It's great. She has come into a stage where she is extremely, there's a Swedish term for it. It's called pappig, and pappa means father, dad. So she's very, very attached to me. She always wants to come up and cuddle and stuff. So she's very, very affectionate to me. And it's very heartwarming. It's great. It's great. And she's also learned how to speak a bit more now. She's interacting a bit more. For all fathers to be who might listen to this, it's for a mother the love for a child is more immediate, but for a father it sort of grows on you. You grow a relationship with the child as she develops, and she starts interacting more with you and stuff. So that's something really. Yeah, it's very, very great in a lot of ways. So, good times, good times.
Well, I'll echo that. I've got to say, it's fantastic being a dad, especially at Christmas. We've had quite a bit of snow here this year for England, and taking Sophia out in the snow is fantastic. I posted a picture to my Instagram the other day. Sophia and Mrs. Mark built a snow dog. I attempted to help, but I kind of bumbled into I bumbled in and was a little bit heavy handed and knocked the dog's head off. So I was told to stay out of the way. But I think family is key to a lot of the things we talk about. And it's great to be on with another content creator who has a family and who is a dad, because I think this is so important. And the next generation is really why we are engaged in this fight. And I think we talk about growing through knowledge. We talk about growing through a physical activity, through exercise. But I also think you develop an awful amount as a person by being a parent. How has it affected you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It does. You really have to step up the game. Everything becomes a bit more... that sense of responsibility, it puts an additional level on your productivity. I'd say, at least for me, I got a bit more drive got a bit more of a sense of urgency, and some good things, some bad things. The bad things, of course, you tend to worry about many more aspects, about the political and the cultural, so various things that are threatening to one's child: a degenerate culture, a school that indoctrinates them. So you have more things to also now. Of course, I have been opposed to these things long before I became a father, but it sort of intensifies. So there are you have to confront more problems, or at least down the line, you have to confront them. So that's one perspective as well. That and something I've talked to both friends and I've said online as well, that it's as a father, you have to be a bit more hands-on when it comes to your immediate environment. So I've said that if there is a school, of course, we look at school, you know, well in advance to see like, oh, how's the demographics? Do they have a pride flag hanging out, or do they have what sort of vibe does it give me? Should it be that we pick a school and then I hear that they've had a drag queen there? I will immediately go to the school and say, you know what, you can't be in here. I don't tolerate it. These other people might. Optimally speaking, you would, of course, talk to the other fathers and say like, okay, lads, what's your views on this? They say like, yeah, you know, I'm not all too comfortable with it. And then you say, okay, well, look, if this happens, I will call you and you can come with me, or you don't need to come with me. But if there is, you know, if it becomes a big deal, you know, teachers calling around or maybe the police gets involved, they will at least have your back in some capacity. Because usually it's the case that if we're talking about a school teacher who might have heard from the principal of the school, or she might have heard from the teachers union or whatever it might be, that okay, now we have to have a drag queen story hour. I'm just taking it as an extreme example here, but something along those lines. I think that these teachers, they would probably back down if they are confronted often enough by you know, not perhaps angry but resolute fathers, you know, coming in being polite but firm, saying, you know, this isn't really why I want my child to see in school. So it would be great if you could not have this. If they're being confronted with 5 or 10 fathers saying the same thing, they might say, yeah, you know, we might skip this because it's more of a hustle. And that's something the Muslim community, communities all over the West, they're doing it really well. And I definitely think we can look to them to set a good example, that they don't tolerate as much, you know, degeneracy towards their children. And they're not afraid to implement their will. They're not afraid to, you know, go in and say, this is what our collective demands. We demand to not have a Pride Week for my 10-year-old daughter in school. So when we realize that we can act in, you know, as a collective on even on a smaller scale, just as the Muslims are doing it, because they usually they can implement and impose their will, because these teachers, for example, they don't want to take the fight. It's not worth in the least for them. So with a little bit of work, with a little bit of not being afraid of taking a conflict, because that's something, you know, classic, a modern Swedish man is a bit afraid of conflict. And of course, I'm not saying this as someone, I don't particularly enjoy conflicts, but I also know that taking a little conflict early on will reduce in, you know, having to deal with a bigger conflict later on. And that's something to keep in mind as well, that, you know, a little bit of imposing your will can save you a lot of trouble down the line.
I agree. Very, very wise advice there. Very wise advice. Now, something else we've got to talk about tonight. This is obviously the big topic here in the UK. I don't know what the situation is in Sweden, but we are now being told here in the UK that two masks are better than one. And also that they are considering forcing us to wear masks now in outdoor environments as well. Now, we used to have to wear masks in indoor environments, just the one, but now we're being told two masks is better than one, and potentially we are going to be forced, even if going for a walk outside in the countryside with your family, to wear a mask. How many masks have you been wearing, Marcus? That is the question.
I have worn one, and that's when I went to Germany. I went to Germany to take care of some business during the autumn, and I sat on the plane with that mask, and I said, this is not how I want to live my life. And then in Germany as well, it was a charade. It was a play for play acting. People went with, I saw one guy, I think it might have been a sock or something, a tied hair over. No one cared. It was just the show. Yes, I'm following the rules. I will confess, a heresy here, somewhat related to Britain's increasing madness. You know, in 2016, we had, the main celebration in Sweden is Midsummer's Eve. So I was with some, nationalist comrades, were out celebrating, and the morning after, we had, the results from Brexit came in. There was a good friend, he came in and woke us up with saying, "Oh, lads, let's celebrate, Brexit went through." And we were all so happy. Now, however, I'm sort of wondering if I was actually right in supporting Brexit, because here's my reasoning. I do believe that Britain might actually have been better off under the influence of other European countries, such as Italy, Poland, the rest of the Visegrad countries, Hungary, etc. And I say the same thing about Sweden. That's why I haven't said particularly many anti-EU statements as of late, because I would rather be a bit more influenced by those other countries. Now, of course, I don't regret supporting Brexit. And if I had a choice of leaving the EU in Sweden, I wouldn't object. But that's something I wanted to say, at least. I wanted to confess my heresy for a British patriot.
Well, I think Brexit is one of those things where it was very important, but it was a totemic victory for people like ourselves. Obviously, the EU hadn't been fantastic for the UK, but obviously there are certain things now which may well backfire to some degree on ethno-nationalists here in the UK. For example, Boris Johnson is saying, well, we're going to cut EU immigration, which is mainly white people from Eastern Europe, and we are going to replace those Eastern Europeans with people from Hong Kong, with people from Africa, with people from the Indian subcontinent. And I've got to say this, I'm going to try and find this story. I've got a couple of stories that I wanted to comment on today. And one of them is very, very important, because Boris Johnson's made a statement. Now, if anyone can pull this up and throw it my way, that would be fantastic. It was actually on the Daily Mail site. And it was Boris Johnson saying that it was completely unrealistic to say that to cut immigration. It was completely unrealistic to close borders, to stop immigrants coming into the UK. That could never happen. Now, at the same time, he is basically stopping Brits coming and going from the UK for holidays. So if you are British and you try to come and go, if you try to leave and then come back, you are going to be quarantined for 10 days after coming back from your holiday. Now, this is a very, very interesting thing, because it basically means that unless you are somebody who is very, very wealthy, you are not going to be taking a foreign holiday now. Because if you were going to take a weekend break, it would mean taking 12 days off. So that isn't happening. If you were going to take 2 weeks off to your holiday home in Tenerife or somewhere like that, that would mean you're basically taking 2 weeks plus 10 days. So there's no way that would burn through all your holiday. The only way you're taking time off is if you're very rich, or if you take about a week off and then you eat the 10 days on top. So that's your 2 week holiday, but you only get a week of it abroad. So this really stops people holidaying abroad. But at the same time as he's saying this, he's more than happy to say that stopping immigration would be completely unfeasible. So what we're really saying is, if you're a Brit, a regular Brit, you're not going on holiday. That's it. Holidays are over for you. You're not going abroad. You're not taking your kids away. You might as well sell your holiday home. But if you're an immigrant, you still will be fast-tracked in because there's no way he can close the borders. And you can start to see all of these big, big double standards here, just as we saw last summer when he said, that's it, we're going to be screening, everyone's staying in their homes. You know, ultimately, you can't go out, but at the height of immigration in summer, 15,000 migrants a day were entering Britain. Just as they said, we could never, ever patrol the border. There'd be too much manpower. Then when people were going out sitting on the beach, they had Navy patrols and police patrols on the beach stopping sunbathers. Well, if they can stop sunbathers, why can't they stop the stream of migrants arriving in dinghies? You know, because if you're on the beach patrolling, you could be patrolling for other things as well. And there's all these incredible double standards. What's your take on all this? How crazy are things in Sweden?
Yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of normies, a lot of otherwise apolitical people, they have seen through the game as well. And a rather horrible example from Sweden, sort of similar. There's a young guy, 20 years of age, something like that. Originally from Estonia, he came here when he was like 8 with his family, and has lived here in his entire life. And he's a Swedish patriot. You know, Estonia, close historic ties with Sweden, you know, fit in perfectly. He has been a nationalist, young nationalist guys, and now he is being, he's being deported back to Estonia, and. My first initial reaction was I thought Sweden couldn't even deport people to other EU countries. I thought it was impossible because they've said it before when we've had, you know, troublesome immigrants. It was impossible. Same thing. It's impossible to send people to back to their own third world countries, no matter the crime. It can be the most horrible sexual crimes. And God knows we have a lot of those in Sweden as well. But we've been told, you know, it's impossible. We can't legally send these people back because whatever reason. But then you have a 20-year-old guy who has committed the horrible, sacrilegiously horrible crime of speaking pro-Swedish opinions. And he's being sent back to Estonia. And he doesn't have any family there. He has his work here in Sweden as well. So he's just a regular guy who has, you know, taken a stand against the regime of Sweden. And of course, they're making this as an example, saying to other young guys that, yeah, you know, we can do this legally. Perhaps we can't, but, you know, might makes right, so we can do whatever we want. Same thing in the UK, of course. They say one thing, show with their actions something completely else. There is enough resources. You know, a lot of people say the police, they need more resources. They can't solve crimes because they don't have enough resources. They let people, you know, in no-go zones. They let them, you know, come up with their own laws because we can't police them. But if there is a 60-year-old man or woman who has written something on Facebook, yeah, the 5 patrol cars coming out to arrest them. So I mean, apparently there are enough resources to do a lot of things. They just don't want to do it. So yeah, my hope is that more normies, more regular people will just see that, okay, these people in the regime, they are lying to us.
They certainly are lying to us, but there's more to it than that. Or I think there's more to it than that anyway. And I want to share a quick story with you. And this is something I usually have a few links that I intend to share with people during the show. And this is something I want both of your takes on before we go to the questions. And I hope we have a bit of time at the end to talk about Warhammer 40K, because when I was doing your graphic, I was torn whether to do the picture of Biden with the double masks, which is obviously topical because he's a complete idiot and he's got 2 masks on, or to have a company of Ultramarines, Primaris Ultramarines, storming a battlefield. I wasn't sure which to go for. I went for the more sensible one, but I always like to talk a bit of a Warhammer when I have the honor
for
of
next,
having
The next graphic you can go with is Space Marines.
Definitely. Well, listen to this. Now, this is the most hilarious headline I've ever seen. The Daily Mail pen. And they pen some really, really, really awful headlines. But I'm going to read this, and you can see it up on screen. COVID hoaxer, who took photos of hospital corridors to falsely claim wards were empty in anti-lockdown campaign, is banned from visiting all hospitals under ASBO-style protection order. Okay, so let's go through that again. COVID hoaxer. Firstly, they've said this person is a hoaxer who took photos of hospital corridors to falsely claim wards were empty, is banned from visiting all hospitals. Well, firstly, it wasn't a hoax. She took pictures of empty wards and posted them up online. So how is it falsely claiming wards were empty when the pictures were of empty wards? If you take a picture of an empty ward and post it up, firstly, that isn't a hoax. That's the truth. And secondly, you're not falsely claiming anything. Now, this article has had 7.6 thousand shares. Let's have a look at the best rated comment. And this basically says it all. Happy Chappy posted, wait a minute, took photos of empty wards to prove they are empty. So they were empty. What's the problem? We all know that many people aren't getting treatment for anything other than COVID. What's wrong with commenting on it and providing proof? Now, this is the best rated comment, but it's also got 403 downvotes. Is that being botted? Are the 403 total midwits out there that don't understand the English language? But this really, really got to me when I was reading this. You know, some things actually wind you up, and, you know, if you had unlimited money and unlimited monitors, your fist would just be going through the monitor in pure rage. When I saw that, that's how I felt. Let's look at the worst rated comment. I always like that. Somebody's put, but why can she not say this? Why are we banning her from freedom of speech when what she is saying is true? The hospital is empty. She's not lying. The photos prove it. Now I'm going to upvote that. But 389 people have downvoted that. I don't understand why. And this is the kind of madness that we're facing here in the UK. We're facing this complete insanity here in Britain, because people are literally, she's banned now from going near a hospital for posting truthful pictures of what's been going. What do both of you think of this? Has this insanity got to the point, though, where the public are actually starting to spot it? Will this actually end up helping us? We'll start with you, Marcus, and then Jason. What do you guys think?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think that, you know, a lot of these votes, both on YouTube and newspapers, etc., are probably bots. I saw that when, if it was something that Biden did, suddenly had, you know, gone from 7,000 downvotes to 1,000 downwards or whatever it was. I'm just saying something randomly, but there was some irregularities with it at least. And I would say that, and I, of course, since we've been on YouTube for so long, we know that the statistics are quite easy to manipulate, you know, removing views, removing whatever it might be. But in regards to the people who are almost religiously dedicated to the COVID, I think a lot of people, they miss religion, they miss a higher purpose, they miss a sense of being a part of something, they miss that, you know, sense of excitement in their lives. And I understand it. If you are a normie and you have, you know, you go to your normal normie job and you watch some football on the weekend, you don't live a particularly exciting life because you are a normie and you don't go outside. I don't remember who it was who said it, but it was some European dissident. But anyway, he said, the minute you go outside of the socially acceptable boundaries, you realize how unfree you are. But until you step out of line, you think you're free and happy and healthy and everything. And a lot of these individuals, you know, well off, middle-aged women and men who haven't really been exposed to a lot of bad things, and who aren't enlightened as to the plight of the West, etc. I think they yearn for something to feel a part of. Now this catastrophe, we're being part of it, and they want that sort of excitement. So I think they view this as an opportunity to have a bit of adventure, because they don't have it otherwise, because they're not, as we are, you know, engaged in trying to restore Western civilization. So I think that, you know, on a, you know, psychological level, I think it's to do with a lack of religion and a lack of purpose in life.
I agree largely with that. And the reason for the glasses is that I had my eyes dilated. So I haven't taken on some kind of a new weird like style or anything. I'm not going to start playing the piano and swinging my head back and forth. They're just aching a bit. So they'll come off as soon as it becomes tolerable again. But having said that, what's really happening with these, my view is what's really happening with these instances of, you see this impetuousness in the anti-white regime, is that anything that contradicts the anti-white narrative is something they move swiftly to crush. They move swiftly to silence, to censor into oblivion, to denounce. And often we see this sort of, you know, out of this separation of society, it's just like this putrid, rotting thing. You see contradictory efforts and nonsensical efforts. As long as those efforts end up in anti-white conclusions, and they can change from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, specifically when it comes to COVID-19 or the use of this pandemic to advance anti-white agenda, and that's anti-whites, they do all things that come into being or they bring into being, real or false or in part, they use to advance their anti-white objectives, to inflict injury on Western kind, to inflict injury on Western civilization. Normally, these things roll out in a really easy, prescribed way. They tell everybody exactly what to think, exactly what to say, and the anti-whites are able to act in unison. This has been much more chaotic. It's like this chimera of efforts of anti-whiteism. Anti-whites in one department or one area or one niche, thinking that one endeavor or one effort will serve anti-white objectives clearly, and others in another area believing that, oh no, the other direction will serve us in a more effective way for anti-whitism. So you end up with this sort of like basic bitch madness out of the media, out of the government figures. They can say, quite literally, I mean, we have seen here in the States, and particularly in the States, because there are 50 of them, and they essentially are, you know, they're not their own countries anymore, as they initially were created. They're just governing units or divisions of this empire. They still have a lot of their own ability to do things that they want, vis-a-vis things like COVID-19. And you see the states all doing these different things where the anti-whites hold the nodes of power, and they contradict each other from state to state. But even within states, this happens, where you see, like in New York, for example, where they're now, you know, initially they were saying, oh, the numbers are we're not getting enough of the essentially the COVID patients into the old folks' homes, and there's no deaths there. And then they say that there were X amount of deaths. Now anti-whites are coming out because, again, they think that saying, well, the deaths are double, that this will be able to serve them in their agenda to achieve the next objective. So that's what we need to stay focused on, is the reality that whatever comes out of their mouth is just going to be an excuse to get at another anti-white objective. So if we accept that, then we never have to engage in their arguments. But absolutely correct. I agree completely. It is madness. And the woman, yeah, of course, she's reporting on what's actually taking place. And would say, and these things are useful to us when we can go to our friends and family and strangers and have just that sort of a moment of, can you believe how loony this is? And then take them someplace that they can improve their health and well-being. I pass it back.
Some excellent points from both of you there. We're going to go to some questions now, because I didn't realize how we're flying through the show. One thing I really love about having Marcus on, it always feels like a really, really just sort of friendly chat. I remember when I did a show with him, we were in a room in Sweden and we did a show together for his channel. That was a fantastic chat. I could have just sat there and talked to him all day about different stuff. But we do have to get to these super chats, and we'll go through them. We'll go through them in chronological order. And the first is from David Slater, who sent $3. Thank you very much. He said, "Hi, Mark. Me and friend Callum have been inspired to get massive since viewing Charlie Big Potatoes' excellent fascist fitness page on Telegram. Can I get a big 14 words for my gym buddy Callum, please?" Well, yes, you can. A 14 in the chat, please, for David and Callum, who are training at the gym. Thank you very much. SixGun1865 gave £5. Thank you very much. He said, "Hi, Mark. Would you ever get Way of the World on PWR? Keep up the great work." I've asked him about a million times. He won't come on. He doesn't do live shows. It hurts my feelings. I would like Way of the World on a lot. He's a fantastic guy. It would be fantastic. I speak to him regularly, IRL. He's a lovely guy. I'd love to have him on. Sadly, though, he doesn't do live shows. Serena JB gave £5. Thank you very much. And she said, "With Biden in power, do you think the US will declare war on Iran, and will it get the backing of the American people? Can it actually win a war with the low-grade people now being recruited into the army?" I think this is a question for Jason, really, because Jason was talking to myself and Marcus before the show a bit about the rapid decline of America under Biden. Obviously, Marcus can comment on this too if he wishes, but take it away, Jason. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, they're going to go as far as they can. That'll mean relative to the law, relative to public opinion. And of course, they don't need the sort of acceptance or deferential behavior from the public that they used to need, because that old paradigm is dead. We talked about this endlessly, and it still seems that so many historians are going to look back and they're going to say, "Oh, that's when the old paradigm died, when there wasn't going to be able to be the typical or usual pushback that you see once the anti-whites, who call themselves Democrats, get into power." The Republican Party, as anti-white as it was, is dead now. And the Senate, the House, and the presidency are all controlled by the anti-whites, who call themselves Democrats. The anti-whites, who call themselves Republicans, are rapidly becoming the neo-Democrats. We've seen that in these young Republican events that they've been having lately. Yes, there is a great possibility that they will go to war over the next 4 years, especially as these Democrat policies that are just steal from the working man and give to the voting man, whether he has the right to vote or not, you know, those who vote for a living as opposed to those who work for a living. As those policies fracture, as those policies, for example, I just will quickly say, and I'm going to throw it over to Marcus so he can speak to this. But Biden is signing executive orders. And again, remember, we were just talking about, so just circling back to just seconds ago when we were talking about how they'll come up with excuses to arrive at any anti-white conclusion they want. You have all of these videos going out of Biden when Trump signed a handful of executive orders saying this is the behavior of a tyrant. No president should ever do anything like this. He should have to submit his ideas to the will of the people by way of their elected representatives in the House and the Senate, on and on and on. And they're sharing it and saying, "God, look at the hypocrisy." Well, of course he's a hypocrite because he's anti-white. He even has the Senate and the House. Now, he doesn't even have to sign executive orders, except he does. And he's going through them like there isn't enough ink in the world to get down his signature down on these pieces of paper that he has no idea what is even written on them. So they're just pushing things through as quickly as they can. Well, this what's going to happen. One of those things is that they have shut down a couple of these pipeline jobs projects that killed several thousand jobs. Well, the dummies in the U.S., the conservatives and the like, they will end up saying that, well, it was just a couple thousand jobs, not understanding that it's not just those thousands, it's the thousands on top of that that supply the parts, it's the thousands on top of that that supply those people who make the parts, the material to make the parts, it's the thousands on top of that that supply that original thousands with the things like where they eat, where they stay, the et cetera, all the stuff they use, the tools they use. So as this deteriorates, the Democrats are going to need to be waging war. And of course, they're going to want to serve the anti-white oligarchs around the world and whatever their endeavors are anyhow, which, of course, we know is just the increase of power where they don't have international banks in countries around the world. They want to have their banks installed. And so they're going to use the U.S. military as a proxy. So, yes, the possibility of new wars being declared is very high. Troops are already on the move. Not only abroad, but of course, as you know, in the United States, all 50 capitals and the Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. And of course, as I say, you also have the anti-white oligarchs and their needs. But then the question is, what about the war? Can a war possibly be won with the kind of idiots now, the type of leadership now that we have in the United States? Yes, of course, the United States can win any war with anybody on planet Earth because of its nuclear arsenal. They have tactical nukes. They have the wipe out the whole city nukes and leave nothing left behind whatsoever. There is no real way to set up large scale military, any groupings of men for combat, because it would just take a tactical nuke and the battlefield is clear and the US can then drive on in. Now, if they don't use tactical nukes, or if they don't use the full ICBM nukes and they send the troops in, the United States will still win because it's a war of attrition. It was like when the South seceded from the United States, when we became the Confederate States of America and we seceded. Most people don't realize around the world, the Confederates won almost every single battle. And that's how it could be with a place even like Iran. They could win almost every single battle, and still, at the end of the day, the United States would have more people to put into the meat grinder. And by the way, the majority of those combat individuals on the ground are good old white boys from corn-fed areas across the South and Midwest and et cetera. Those are the ones who are in those combat roles. The rest of the military is dominated by other races of people. They're doing wonderful jobs. Some of them are there to be patriots. Some of them are there just for a paycheck and a place to live. But the U.S. will win these battles if the anti-white oligarchs want it to take place. And it's going to harm us irredeemably. What does it mean for us? It means that we, as individuals who care about white well-being and care about Western kind, that we are able to, we go to our family members now, we go to our friends now, we tell them, hey, this is coming. This is a big likelihood. And when it does come, here are the people who are responsible. They're anti-white. Who are the ones who are going to suffer? It's going to be Western kind. It's going to be us and the entirety of the Western world. And if you want, if they are so skittish about caring about even white babies, like that beautiful white little girl walking around the room there with Marcus there, if they're so skittish that they don't want to get in front of a white child, you can remind them that a bunch of brown children are going to die as well in these wars around the world.
Do you have anything to add on this, Marcus?
Yeah, I'd say something that, you know, when the wars in the Middle East started, and this is, of course, you know, I've talked to American veterans, and many of them have, you know, talked publicly as well about this. You know, the mindset in 2001, September 11th, you know, what we know now is we know so much more. All Americans, most American veterans, what they know now, who they fought, who did they fight for, why did they fight? Did they fight in the Middle East to safeguard America? Meanwhile, you know, they're being replaced at home. As Jason said, good old white boys from, you know, decent middle America being sent off to die in a desert. I don't think a lot of these guys who, out of patriotic love, 20 years ago or 10 years ago, they went to willingly fight in the desert because they did it for, yeah, they love their country, they want to defend their country, they did it out of a good instinct. Now they know different. Now they know that, okay, it's not to protect our home country, our families. It's not the reason we go to fight here in Iran. It's to do the bidding of these international masters. So I say the fightiness, you know, when you're talking about the fightiness of someone or a people, their eagerness to participate in a war, America in the year 2001, yeah, a lot of fightiness in the young, good old white boys. They wanted to get back at these guys who had attacked their home territory. Now, I don't see particularly much fightiness. I see, yeah, some basically mercenaries coming in to have a paycheck and, yeah, do it because it's a profession. But I don't see the same level of commitment and the popular support. I'd say the majority of veterans and the majority of good old white boys, good old white families who supply the soldiers, they probably voted for Trump. And they're probably not wanting to sign up to die for Hillary and Biden in a war. So that's the main difference I see now, at least.
Well, I have a perspective on this, and it's very similar to really what you guys have said. You know, there's not really anything I can add to that. I think you've both put it very, very succinctly. But what I will say is, during the recent election, I was very, very disappointed when I saw nationalists supporting Biden. Now, I can understand some people saying, look, Trump's done this and that's a red line for me, and I don't think I can vote for Trump anymore. I can understand that. Now, I could hold my nose and vote Trump because I think Trump was doing us more favors than he was harm. I think that he was also somebody that wasn't going to do us as much harm as Biden. Now, those who went and voted Biden, though, I've got to say, absolutely, on one hand, disappointing is the mild way to put it. Despicable would be to go all out against them. And I've got to say this. Anyone who calls themselves a white nationalist or who calls themselves an advocate for white well-being or somebody who is advocating in the interests of people of European descent and voted or campaigned for Biden, well, those people, they need to screw their heads back on because it's absolute insanity. And what I heard some people who supported Biden saying was trash, like, well, the Democrats get things done, the Republicans don't. Well, that's like saying there's a guy here who is promising to give you a tenner every month, and he only actually gives you £10 every other month. So he doesn't always make good on his promise. But then there's another guy here saying he's going to kick you in the balls every month. But every month he actually does it. So I'm voting for the guy who kicks me in the balls because he sticks to his promise every month. That's the kind of insane thinking that came from these nationalists, that the Democrats will make good on their promise. So Trump says, come on, I'm going to wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm going to look after the white people of America. And he doesn't always do it. He doesn't always make good on that. And the Democrats were like, you know what? We're going to completely screw over the white people in every way imaginable. And some nationalists said, well, they're going to stick to their promises, so I'm voting for them. How insane can you get? And we've already seen Biden has signed more executive agreements on his first day in office than I think the last four, five or six presidents put together. He's just been signing them, and everything he signed is bad. I posted something the other day to my Telegram, and I've got to read this out because this is just insane. Biden will streamline the naturalization of 9 million migrants in the US in a series of executive orders today as he reverses Trump's policies. 9 million people in a day, and No White Guilt saying there's more than that, which I'm sure there is, but that's the Daily Mail's estimation. 9 million people in a day being made Americans thanks to Biden. Well, these nationalists who apparently supported this man and campaigned for him and said he was the best bet, they should at least be eating humble pie right now, yeah? They should at least be saying, we got this terribly wrong and I'm sorry. Now, as I said, I can understand if he didn't want to vote for him because of his links to Zionism and some of the shadier things he did, because he wasn't perfect. I can understand you're not voting for him. But voting and campaigning for Biden, personally, that is absolute madness. These people must have been drinking the Kool-Aid. So we'll move on to the next question. And thank you for the £5, Serena. Flying Dutchman gave $10. Thank you very much, my friend. And he said, who or what do you guys believe is the most existential or internal challenge to Western man? And how do you suggest is the best way to minimize it? Well, that's incredible. I mean, that's an incredible question. It's incredibly broad. I wrote a whole book on this. I've got to start by saying I think the biggest internal challenge to us as a people is that we are caught up in a cycle of hedonism and materialism, and that leads to a form of selfish individualism where we only think of ourselves and we only think of our immediate happiness and well-being. And the problem with that is it means that we as a people often see things such as forming a stable long-term relationship and having children, not as something that actually enriches our lives, but as a burden, because it could in some way prevent us from having more fun. So people on the stream know what I like doing, what I enjoy. And some of the things that I enjoy do involve or does involve spending money. And I've heard people say, well, I like doing X and X costs money. And if I have a baby, then I'll be able to afford less of X. And that is, I think, for me, and I phrase this quite broadly because I think it's hard to narrow it down. That for me is the greatest threat to us that we face, this hedonistic, materialistic view that makes us selfish, individualistic, and makes us only think of what's good for us now to the point where we stop having children. Marcus, what do you think is the greatest existential or internal challenge to us?
Yeah, so of course there are so many different things to talk about. I completely agree with what you're saying. Luxury, it weakens you. And this is a historical fact. You can look at basically every civilization. There is I don't remember who I'm quoting now, but a contemporary historian who said, you are going up the stairs of success in barefoot and you're going down in silk slippers, something like that. Meaning that, you know, when you're on the decline, you're going decline with a lot of luxuries, because you get weak, you lose that will to power. So I'd say that luxury is it's a problem in that sense. And of course, if we're talking about the decline of religion as well, when people don't have anything higher to live for, these pleasures, these luxuries, it's easy for them to take the place of the higher sense of striving. And of course, it can be hard for a man who isn't being, you know, nudged or pushed into perhaps our way of thinking. It can be hard for him to see the struggle that we are in, because once you see the struggle, as we gentlemen here in this conversation, we have of course seen the struggle, and we can't really enjoy any luxury. We can't really escape into that sort of lifestyle, because we wouldn't be able to sleep at night. So I mean, it wouldn't be a luxury for us. It would just feel wrong and it would feel bad. And we know that, okay, if I'm not trying to change things metapolitically now, my people will be worse off for it. But some people, they might not care because they don't identify as whites. So that's one thing I have thought about as well, is to get more people to identify as being part of us. This is our team. Team Mother Europe, Team Western Civilization, Team White Well-being. Identify first and foremost. and then view that sort of sense of higher destiny as something to that trumps all of these luxuries.
All right, I'll jump in. Absolutely right. What Marcus was saying right there, I agree completely with Mark and Marcus. And I will add, and this is it really is a fantastic question, by the way, to whoever asked that question. I believe that the biggest challenge for us is what Marcus was wrapping up there, and that is to become a people, to become a people out of a deracinated race. And why are we deracinated? To what Mark was talking about, it's there might be a genetic proclivity in this day and age. We can call it a proclivity, and previous ages, it was a propensity, a proclivity toward individualism. Nothing wrong with it. It has served us well over time. But now, in an age of collectives, individualism is suicide. And so we go out there and we surfeit ourselves on hedonism. So many people who are going free have written me about how they have left hedonism behind. They never felt fulfilled. They never felt like they had achieved whatever that was that they were trying to fill their heart, their soul with. They then turn to what we refer to in Going Free as the biospirit of the West, the one thing that we share among all members of Western kind, irrespective of our countries. And they begin to find that wholeness for the first time in their lives. They need, as a consequence of our people not seeing ourselves as a people with many countries, which is where we need to get mentally, that we are one people, many countries. We have different hues on Western civilization in each of our countries, and that's a beautiful thing. But we need to get to that place where we're one people with many countries, because once we do, then we find individual well-being by way of group well-being. That is the only thing the anti-whites cannot undermine. If we succumb to the idea, the old style of antiquated style of nationalism, where we're white, but we are also this country, and it's our country against the other countries. Some of them will be white, some of them will be non-white. Then we'll just be defeated the same way we were defeated before. We need to finally realize there is no reason why the farmers in Canada can't do as well as the farmers in the US, or the widget makers in Sweden can't do as well as the widget makers in Norway. We can come to equitable conclusions and outcomes once we resolve this issue about being a single people with many countries, and then derive our individual well-being by way of our group's well-being. I promise you this, once we think about the world this way, it is a thought chain, and we will arrive at healthy conclusions at every turn. Pass it back.
Thank you very much. It's a great question. Another question. This is for Jason from the Flying Dutchman. He's digging deep here. I can actually remember what happened this morning when I'm going to let Jason tell the story. $5 from the Flying Dutchman. Jason, when you attended and spoke at the PA conference, you mentioned that Sam took you back to the airport. Did anyone else volunteer to help you, or was he the only one?
Sam stepped right up. I said, I got to go to the airport. And Sam leapt right out of his chair. So he was the one I recognized. He was tall and he was immediately loud. And he said, I'll take you. And of course, I didn't want him to take me because he had some other special thing going on that I won't say. But yeah, he leapt right up to say that he would drive me to the airport. He's a great chap.
Well, actually, Sam was helping me out as well, because I was taking No White Guilt to the airport. But I had obviously been doing a lot of, I was really tired. I'd been doing an awful lot of work all weekend, driving everybody around, helping people do stuff, greeting everyone they came in. I came downstairs. I was going to have a bite to eat and take Jason, and Sam stepped up and he really helped me out. Yeah. I'll do it, mate. And he was basically doing a favor to me. I gave him some money for the petrol and I said, thank you so much, Sam. Sam is a stand-up guy. And honestly, when you meet people in this movement, like Marcus, Jason, and Sam, you're not just meeting friends. It's like you're meeting brothers that you never knew you had. That is the wondrousness of this movement. So thank you for that question. Tom Hunter gave $5 and he made a statement that I agree with. And he said, the Minds app will absolutely be banned immediately if it ever gets traction. So I wouldn't count on that. So thank you for that, Tom. Jez gave $10 and said, thank you very much, Jez. And he said, we shouldn't adopt the attitude of I'm okay with them banning this or that hate speech because I don't say that stuff. We need to recognize that it's always the thin end of the wedge and we should always be fiercely defending other people's free speech, even if it is so-called hate speech. Well, I agree with that, but I will always draw the line at what I call legitimate incitement. And what you've got to remember in the UK, there was never any need for hate speech laws because hate speech is just anti-free speech. In the UK, there was always laws against inciting violence against people or calling for people to be harmed. But hate speech is anti-free speech. But I do believe that there should be a line drawn because I wouldn't want anyone inciting people to come. The other week, there was a guy on a stream who was saying that he was going to come and give me a visit, come and attack, potentially attack me, come to my house. And I don't believe that people should be allowed to directly incite people to harm others. But I do believe in defending all free speech. And I've always defended people who have been taken down regardless of what they said. And I've got to say this show was firmly behind Ursula Haverbeck when she went to jail in Germany for talking about a certain historical occurrence. And you've got to remember, at the time when we were raging about that, and I'd get really mad about this, there was Tommy Robinson, Anne-Marie Waters, Carl of Swindon, and a load of these other people holding these giant free speech rallies. Yet when an 89-year-old woman was dragged off to jail and thrown in a cell for speaking her mind, all of them were as quiet as mice. It was like part of their male anatomy had just shriveled up and they'd lost their voices. Do you know what I mean? It was like these guys who wanted the right for free speech and wanted to hold these giant rallies and raise huge amount of donations, like the Football Lads Alliance. You know, the Football Lads Alliance were all chanting for freedom of speech, but when it was jailing an 89-year-old grandma in Germany, things shriveled up like they would do if you were out in Sweden on a snowy day in your Speedos. You know, these guys who at one point they had, you know, big voices and they could stand there shouting at these parades and these demos. They lost their voices pretty quick, didn't they? Disgraceful. But yeah, thank you for the super chat, Jez. And I've been missing training with you, my friend. But the offer of a Chinese meal is still open if you want to pop over. Max Anderson gave £3 and said, enjoying the show. Thank you very much. Groiper Chris PT gave £10. Thank you, Chris. And he said, great show tonight on the second best nationalist channel. Mark's behind the scenes work is underrated. So thank you for everything you've done for me. Well, thank you, Chris. You're a true friend. Treat yourself to a packet of chocolate hobnobs and a Red Bull. 14 in the chat for Mark. Well, thank you, Chris. The hobnobs are actually for Mrs. Mark. She's a massive fan actually of chocolate bourbons. I'm obviously a fan of Red Bull. I've been training Chris how to play Call of Duty Warzone to a better capacity, and I'm the first man to give him that kind of brotherly love. So thank you for the super chat, Chris. David Peterson gave £50. Thank you very much. Oh, and joking aside, I do spend a lot of my time actually helping people, and I'm very proud of one particular guy. Because on Monday morning, I spent an hour with this lad. He's had a few confidence issues, but he's a good friend. He's become a good friend over the years because I've been mentoring him for a long time. And I just want to read this out because I am super, super proud of him. I spent Monday morning an hour on the phone with him, making him a world-class CV, like a top-of-the-range CV. And he wrote to me. This was on Monday. On Monday, I spent an hour on the phone to him in the morning, doing him his CV, talking through interview techniques, helping him out. And he had a decent CV. It wasn't the worst I've seen, but we really professionalized it. And he wrote to me today to say the following. I've already got an interview for tomorrow. So well done, my friend. He's a great guy. The CV worked straight away. We've had really good success with the CV building. I do not charge for it. I do not ask for a penny for any of this. If you need help with your CV, if you need tutoring or mentoring in interview techniques, give me a call. Now, I'm not going to say his name on stream, but hopefully you're watching. If you need to brush up on your interview techniques before your interview tomorrow, my friend, I'll be available from 7 a.m. to help you with any last nerves or anything. And that's one of the things I do behind the scenes. It helps a lot of young men, and just big well done to him for his getting his interview. David Peterson gave £50. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, great guest. Keep up the good work. Any plans for PA hikes at other socials as we get toward the bank holidays in May? Well, yes, there will be. Every regional group will be out doing something, and I'm sure yours will be too, my friend. Rory Herbert gave £3. Thank you very much. He said, dear Mark, did your parents consider you naming you Mark Antony after the Roman politician and general who transformed the Roman Republic from a constitutional republic into the autocratic Roman Empire? No, they didn't. My name is actually Mark Adrian, and they named me Adrian. I'm not sure why. My dad's middle name is Antony. But they didn't name me that. They named me Adrian. So that's that interesting little footnote there. I have the same initials as my father. And if I have a son, I would like him to have the same initials as me. And I think the best name for a son beginning with M as well, the second best name is the best name is already taken because I am Mark. And I'm not calling my son Mark. But I have already spoken to Mrs. Mark and said, if we have a son, we should name him Marcus. And that would be in part in honor of this great man that is with us tonight. So there.
Thank you. I'm deeply honored by hearing that. It's warms my heart. Thank you.
Somebody in the chat has come up with a rather wacky name, and no, that particular name doesn't begin with, it says the middle name should be something beginning with a name that I can never state on this channel. Hilarious. That's the kind of thing that could get me into real trouble. Slorts gave $10. Thank you very much. And he said, thank you for the show. Let's go and expose anti-whiteism to everyone. Tom Hunter gave $100. Thank you very much for the generous donation. Said, how can we help? Tell us what we need to do. Well, basically get involved with PA. You've been very generous tonight. You've also given another super chat, which I'll be reading out just now. If you want to help and want to get involved with PA locally, because of your generous super chat tonight, if you do want to write to me at Mark at the Fall of Western Man, maybe we could spend a bit of time on the phone and I could send you a signed copy of my book and we could talk about how to get involved. Thank you very much. Richard Wagner gave $5. Thank you very much. And he said, re Victoria Rose Smith, what could be done to prevent the death of this 3-year-old? If we notice an adopted white child with potentially abusive BLM supporting parents, should we report this to the authorities? Well, this was a heartbreaking case, and I just want to cover this very briefly. The case of Victoria Rose Smith, a little girl adopted by black BLM anti-white parents that regularly tweeted about white privilege, etc. Absolutely disgusting. She was tortured and beaten to death by these parents. I don't believe in interracial adoption. And I believe if you know of a child who is at risk, I'm completely against squealing and going to the police. But one exception to that rule is if children are in any form of danger. If children are in danger, go to the authorities. Stanley Sloggett gave £10 and said, great stream tonight. Thought-provoking points throughout. Well, thank you very much. And Tom Hunter gave another $100. Thank you very much. And he said, my heart bleeds for our people. What can we do to help? Tell us what we need to do. Well, my friend, please do get in touch. My email is mark@thefallofwesternman.com. Please get in touch with your local PA branch. I can put you in touch with them. I can also send you a signed copy of my book for being so generous. Reach out to me. I'll give you my phone number. We'll chat. We'll get you involved and we'll get you off the bench. And anyone else who wants to get in touch with the PA website. We are currently working on a system with getting in touch with everybody who has got in touch and ticked the box saying that they want to be active and pairing those people up with their local organizers so that people can actually help. And I want to stress this. We stressed this on Friday night when I did a stream with Laura. Every week, PA activists are out leafleting, dropping banners, doing social activities. Get involved. It is very important. Now we'll go on to the unpaid questions. Beer Hall Pooch asked a question to me and said, Mark, Are you aware the YouTuber rapper Mr. Bond was arrested in Austria and faces life inside? Very sure Tim Murdoch firmed it up last night. I am aware of this. Mr. Bond has been unmasked. He has been arrested by Austrian authorities. He isn't facing life. I believe I've read, I actually read an Austrian news report today. He's facing 2 years in prison. I can read this to you, actually, because I have the news article in front of me. If you give me a couple of seconds, I will blast this out to everyone. People may know who Mr. Bond is. Let me just pop this into a window and do the Google Translate on it. Put it in English for me, please. And here it is. For years, Europe's secret services had the right-wing musician at the top of their wanted list. The trail led to Austria. Well known for world hits from the Scorpions or the Bloodhound Gang, the ardent racist set the music with certain texts wrapped in bumpy English. It's saying that. This one doesn't say it, but I read that he faces several years imprisonment and millions in fines for copyright infringement. I read two sites on this. I haven't got the link to the other one, and they're saying that he's facing around 2 years imprisonment and millions in fines for what he's done. Absolutely scandalous. Again, we defend this man's right to free speech. We defend this man's right to make satirical songs. Parody songs are all the rage all over the internet, and no one gets sued over them. This is absolutely sickening. And the fact that the authorities are spending so much time tracking people down for making parody songs, it just makes you absolutely sick. 300 Spartans, this is a question for you, Marcus. What are the panel's views on keto diets? Have you seen the documentary, The Magic Pill, about the benefits of following a ketogenic diet?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see carbohydrates as a supplement, basically, for athletic performance. For anyone who isn't really training that hard, I don't see the point of... I mean, of course, you can eat some carbohydrates. It's nothing that will kill you. But generally speaking, focusing more on fats and protein is healthier. And also something to keep in mind that, you know, when you see certain athletes, especially power athletes, strongmen, etc., what they are doing isn't necessarily always healthy. You know, eating 5,000 calories each day, it's not healthy. It might be good to put on mass and stuff, but if you're only out for healthy living, cutting carbs might be a good idea. And especially when you cut carbs, you cut out a lot of bad things that aren't really adding anything good to you. So if you eat plain white rice, for example, I mean, cutting it out from your diet, yeah, you won't lose anything. Whereas if you would cut out eggs, you lose out on a lot of good things. So, I mean, eggs and bacon, perfect meal, you know, fat fish and everything. So, yeah, go for it.
Listen, Marcus, go ahead and tell it. Anybody eating carbs for anything more than if you need some energy for the cardio or whatever you're doing, you are going straight to hell when you die. I mean, that's essentially what's happening. You are not going to. Fantastic. Thank you for saying that. Eggs and bacon. Yes. Get rid of the carbs, folks.
Oh, I agree. Mrs. Mark has become an amazing cook since we moved in together. And I believe in healthy eating. I believe in home-cooked food. And I've got to say, I do like a takeaway. But when I eat really carby meals, it does have a big negative effect on me. When I was at the peak of my fitness and I'm physically largest and heaviest with muscle mass, I did eat a lot of stuff that could be considered junk food, but I never ate the fries or drank the sugary drinks. So if I went to McDonald's, I would always have 2 quarter pounders with cheese or 2 Big Macs. I'd never have the fries. And I would always steer away from things like pizza And if I was going to a nice restaurant, I'd go to those Brazilian all-you-can-eat steak restaurants where you would just have cut of meat after cut of meat, and you totally eliminate the carbs, and you put on weight very rapidly then, but you never, ever got the bloatedness that you feel when you have a carby meal. And I'm very proud to say Sophia is a big meat lover. She already... We had a pizza the other night, and we asked her, Mrs. Mark says, what pizza would you like, Sophia? And she ran around the kitchen shouting meat at the top of her voice. And the other night, she ate a ridiculous amount of roast beef. She really, really does like that. And I think it's really good to get your children, if you want them to develop really healthily, get big, get strong, good brain development, good muscle development, have plenty of energy, get them on a really healthy, natural, balanced diet where they get plenty of meat, plenty of fresh vegetables, and get them a taste for things like that. She is quite cheeky, though. She had a warm sausage roll for lunch, and she's clever enough to peel off the pastry, throw it on the floor, and just eat the sausage meat from the middle. So I think she's definitely already on Marcus's wavelength here. Going to be a very fit and healthy girl.
Yeah, same with our daughter. She is a big fan of meat, and I'm very happy for it because, you know, yeah, developing brain, everything, basically more meat and fat, all good. So very important for children. A book recommendation, I've said this before, I'll say it again, Weston A. Price, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. He talks about it quite a lot, about children developing and the sort of diet they have.
Yeah, and what Marcus was actually not saying when he was speaking ill of carbs is that he personally hates you if you put carbs at the top of your diet. So that's what he was actually hinting at. I just want to make sure that everybody knows what's really going on.
Well, we've had a great stream tonight, and there's still 10 minutes left, and I always keep the last 10 minutes spare when we have Marcus on, because it's great to talk to him about other things that are a little bit more lighthearted. Now, Marcus, when I started our Call of Duty tournament, I did invite you to play, but unfortunately you're not a Call of Duty gamer, are you? So you won't be participating. I wanted Marcus to play. I wanted Marcus to stream to his YouTube, to have another. We have plenty of celebrity players each week, probably about a dozen, actually, who stream or regularly produce content. But I'd have loved Marcus to be involved. But he is a gamer, and he's also a big fan of the Warhammer 40K universe. So, Marcus, what have you been playing recently? And have you advanced any of your 40K armies or painting skills?
So basically I'm a fan of both Warhammer 40K, or more specifically the Horus Heresy. So technically that is 30K. And the reason for it is that I view it as sort of like a modern Iliad and Odyssey. It's such an epic story of the God Emperor and his 20 genetically engineered demigod sons, and they burst out into a really tragic civil war, and it's a lot of betrayal and epic drama and rivalry between the brothers and loyalty, corruption, everything like that. So many of those themes are really, really compelling and really epic. There's a sense that I really like when I read those books. So to be perfectly technical, it's more Horus Heresy I'm into when it comes to science fiction. But then I'm also, of course, a fan of Warhammer Fantasy. So it's a fantasy. Set. And civilizations, etc. What I've been gaming as of late, much to the chagrin of my wife, I can't play another game now. I can only settle with one, and that's Warhammer Total War 2. So it's a strategy game set in the Warhammer world. I've always been a fan of Total War. I like the strategy of it. You know, you have to really, you know, think about your moves, etc. And the aesthetics of it, really nice as well. That is what I have been up to, then I have actually played with a good friend of mine a tabletop game called Beastgrave. So it's Warhammer Underworlds. So it's a it goes a bit faster to play. Recommended for anyone who's, you know, a game can take 20 minutes or 30 minutes. So you can get a few games in every once in a while if you meet someone. Really fun. So I can definitely recommend that.
Well, if you ever do any Call of Duty or if you ever do any retro gaming, I would love to host you one night because we're doing a series of different gaming nights. I've done a couple of really good retro gaming run-throughs. We do a Call of Duty Warzone tournament once a month. And I am doing guest streams as well on cooperative games. So myself and a talented nationalist artist called The Patriot are doing Resident Evil 5 this month. But if you ever want to join me, Marcus, I would love to spend an evening, good couple of hours, me and you, digging deep into a cooperative game. It would be a, it would be absolutely fantastic. So do bear me in mind if you do that. And I want to throw this out to a few people as well. Marcus's advice is not just for the body, it's also for the mind and the soul. And one thing that I found a lot of people have struggled with through the lockdown, and we, you can briefly comment on this before we wrap up, Marcus, but they feel isolated and they feel a little bit lost. People feel like that. Then they often go down the route of drinking or doing things that are self-destructive. And my advice for people in that situation is get a hobby, whether it's gaming, whether it's Warhammer, whether it's just something you can do at home. And one of the great things with Warhammer is the lore is so positive, but also you can buy and paint the miniatures, and it's quite time consuming. You develop an actual skill, you collect something, you develop yourself as you're doing it, and it keeps your mind focused on something. So if you do have a problem with drinking, or if you do have a problem with just slobbing on the couch in front of the television, something like Warhammer can get you reading, it can get you involved in a community, and at some point we hope to build something positive around that. What are your thoughts on that, Marcus? Has paint, because I've seen some of your paintings, and your painting of miniatures has really, really developed. You're very talented.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. My uncle was an artist, so I suppose I inherited something of the sort. I like painting. I usually, every once in a while, put on some podcasts or some good music, sit down painting. It sort of has a meditative quality to it. You really get into the zone of it, really get into the mood, sitting there painting, and it's a certain sense of accomplishment when you have painted something, and it's a sense of when you get one accomplishment, it sort of feeds off each other in a positive spiral, and it makes you want to be more productive in other endeavors. So it's similar to a productive sort of meditation in a way. Then of course, if you can also have games with them, with the models, it's even better. So the recent models I've painted are for Beastgrave, the game that I've played with a good friend, as I mentioned. So it is a very nice hobby, I can definitely. And the when you get better at it, and you have painted something, you've put in work, put in, some, yeah, you've poured your aesthetic energy into it. It's nice. It's a nice hobby.
It certainly is. It certainly is. So I think tonight's been an absolutely fabulous stream. We've had nearly 1,600 watching on DLive. We've had, I'm just going to get the results in from Sven for how many people have been watching on Radio Albion. But it's been a very good turnout and a very, very good show. As I say, it's always fantastic to host Marcus. So first of all, I will like to say thank you so much for joining us tonight, my friend. Please give a quick outro to yourself and tell us how we can find you and how we can support your excellent work.
Yeah, and as I said, always a pleasure speaking to both of you fine gentlemen. Yeah, so Telegram, the golden one. So I think it's t.me/thegoldenone. That's my main platform, and I will link whenever my Odyssey library is up, I will link there. Otherwise, you can always find my homepage as well, thegoldenone.se. Then, of course, legiogloria.com. We aim to open orders to the UK again tomorrow or Friday. We're still looking for you know, a solution to the American shipping, because it's been complete chaos over the last few months, ever since December. So we're still looking at it. It's been complete chaos, but yeah, we'll get it done. But otherwise, I'd say Telegram, main thing. Otherwise, all social links are also on the homepage at thegoldenone.se. So yeah, that's I'll see everyone on Telegram.
Thank you very much. Jason, my friend, who's on the after party? Where is it taking place? When is it taking place? Tell us how to find you, my friend.
Well, I'm curious about those things too. So I think it's going to be either on Thursday or Saturday. And Mr. George and I will let everybody know on as many platforms as we are able to do so. And you can find me at No White Guilt on YouTube. NoWhiteGuilt.org is the website. NoWhiteGuilt.org. And the other website is theafterparty.tv. Theafterparty.tv. It's been a fabulous, this has been one of the funnest times I've had on our streams in a long time. So it's great to see Marcus and talk with you, brother. And of course, always great to be with our great leader, Mark Collett, and everyone here in our gathering together for PWR. And I look forward to seeing you all again next week.
Well, we've just had some very interesting news. We had about 1,600 watching on DLive and Entropy. But for the first night ever, Radio Albion has had more viewers than DLive. 1,800 in total have watched or listened on Radio Albion. So people are actually making the switch from DLive to Radio Albion, which... I felt the numbers were slightly down tonight, which I was disappointed, because Marcus was here and he deserves more. And then the Radio Albion numbers come in and it's bumped us right up to a healthy 3,400 people watching tonight or listening, which is obviously massive. Fantastic numbers there. It just goes to show that more and more people are supporting Sven, and they should be, because Sven Longshanks does amazing work and he helps me with all the conferences. He was really the driving force that, you know, said, let's do these big conferences. And I couldn't have done it without him. And his help in streaming this is again, fantastic. So give him a 14 in the chat and overwhelmed with the great numbers. But thank you to everyone who's been here tonight. We do have more things this week. Number one, Friday, I've got a great video on how the lockdown is killing more people than COVID itself. Very important video. It'll be a BitChute exclusive for obvious reasons. So please help me share that. That'd be super appreciated. On Sunday night, we have the February Warzone tournament. So please be there for that. You can play, or if you don't want to play, you can watch. That will be live here on DLive. It'll also be live on YouTube. And we will have Laura Towler judging the contest and live in the YouTube chat giving her thoughts. I will also be doing my very best not to lose my temper when I inevitably die multiple times. But just on another slightly related topic, Activision have just banned 60,000 accounts for cheating. So it'll be interesting to see if any of our regulars aren't here this week because they were doing something that they shouldn't have been doing. Well done to Activision for doing that. And I hope these bans continue because the cheats were ruining the game. But that is wrapping it up now. As I said, back on Friday and back on Sunday night. Sunday night, 8 p.m., YouTube and DLive Warzone tournament. If you want to get involved, all of the details on how to get involved will be up on my Telegram and Gab after the show. And that just leaves me to say thank you to Marcus. Thank you to Jason. Thank you to all the people who donated so generously. I am so, so grateful for those donations. It helps me keep doing the things that I do. It helps me spend hours and hours of my day working with young men, helping them develop their CVs, helping them with their confidence. It allows me to do this. And I am in a privileged position. I acknowledge that. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But as always, the biggest thank you of always goes to this amazing audience. The 3,400 people who are watching live tonight, you are amazing people. You bring a smile to my face every week, and I'm blown away that after doing nearly 200 shows, we still have such an incredibly large audience. It's been a really, really wonderful show. Look after yourselves. I'll see you at the weekend, either for my regular video or for the Warzone tournament. And if I don't see you then, I'll see you same time next week. Stay safe, everyone. Love you all. Have a great rest of your evening. Goodbye, and look after yourselves.